Heavenly Father, we ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips and only your word would be spoken. Open our ears and only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. As we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with us in our Bibles to Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 7. In the Red Pew Bibles, this is page 1121. Page 1121. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 7. Now, we just heard the story from Exodus of God's institution of the Passover rite. This is something that was observed by Jesus. We sometimes forget that Jesus and his disciples were Jews, and they observed Passover. And so, we, in fact, not only did they observe it, but in fact, Jesus used the story of Passover to explain further the significance of his passion in the bread and the wine, which we now continue in what we know as Holy Communion. Or the Last Supper. And so here we hear the account of Jesus observing Passover with his disciples on the night before he died. Luke chapter 22, verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread. Feast of Unleavened Bread is just another name for the Feast of Passover. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and tell the master of that house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." They began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this. And this is the word of the Lord. It was about the year 1700 BC, think of that, 1,700 years before the birth of Christ, that Jacob and his family went down to sojourn in Egypt. Remember, there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob became Israel and had the 12 sons. His one son, Joseph, was sold into slavery and eventually became the governor of Egypt. And so because there was a famine in the land, he brought Jacob and his whole family down to dwell in Egypt, in the land of Goshen. Now, God had promised the land of Canaan to be given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So here they were down in Egypt. And after the death of Jacob, they stayed in Egypt. Not just for a week or a month or a year. They stayed in Egypt for 400 years. 400 years, and I just imagine up in heaven, God and all the angels are like, "God, you got to get them out of there. They're not supposed to be in Egypt. They're supposed to be in Canaan, in the promised land. That's the land you gave to them." 400, over 400 years. And they're still there in Egypt. And so among other things, just getting them out of slavery, he got them out of Egypt to where they're supposed to be, into their own land. But after 400 years, they had multiplied greatly, became very numerous. And Pharaoh was fearful of their numbers. And so he subjected them to slavery by building his cities. And he treated them very harshly. And so they were suffering tremendously. And they cried out to the Lord for deliverance. And so God raised up Moses, as we know that story, sent him back with the message to Pharaoh to let my people go. I think we know the story that Moses had to not convince Pharaoh. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And so there was a series of plagues that God had inflicted upon not just the Egyptians, but on the gods of Egypt as well. And the final plague was the death of the firstborn. The death of the firstborn, not only a human man, but also of the animals. Now, in order to protect the Israelites, God told them, when the destroying angel comes, what you want to do is you want to sacrifice a lamb, and you want to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the lintel and then the doorposts. So when the destroying angel comes and the angel sees the blood on your house, the angel will pass over that house and will not kill the firstborn in that house. So that became known as the Passover lamb and the Passover festival. And so by that, in fact, God set the people free and they were on their way to the promised land. And so it was by the blood of that Passover lamb put on the doorpost of the house that, in fact, God set his people free. And God said that this is important enough, what I've done for you, that I want you to remember this every year. And so he assigned for them this festival. He says, you shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. Now, I know I do this, but I try to make a point. What do you think forever means? It means forever. It doesn't mean just till Messiah comes, then you can stop. It means forever. This is a statute for you forever to remember what God had done, not just now for the Israelites in the Exodus out of Egypt, but now we remember it in terms of the fulfillment of Messiah as the Lamb of God. See, everything that was done in Exodus prefigured what we know about now in Jesus Christ. And when John the Baptist first saw Jesus, remember what he said? Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus became identified with the Lamb of God. It maybe sounds strange to us, but this is figurative speech, and really it's saying to the people, go back and look at what happened with the Passover lamb and how it saved you from slavery and it saved you from death. And now Jesus is going to be the sacrificial Passover lamb himself with his blood, his own blood, is going to be given up for the sins of the people to set the people free. And so this story of what we're celebrating in the Passion of Christ and his death on the cross goes all the way back thousands of years to this event we know as Exodus and became remembered each year in what is known as the Passover festival or the Passover Seder is the meal. Seder means order of worship or order of things. And so this is what we've been doing here for about 10 years, and this is why we do it. Because God said, I want you to observe this forever. And so we see in God, in his work in Exodus, and in what Jesus Christ did on Calvary as fulfilling what became known as the Passover lamb, shedding his blood for the sins of the people. Now this Passover Seder, this Passover meal, has things incorporated into it that evidently the Jews had no idea what they were doing. I don't say that. I mean, they certainly had ideas about, you know, why some things happened. But as I understand, you know, when they say, well, why did you do this? And why is that way? And they're like, well, we don't know. And so they think about some things. A couple of things that are done actually during the meal. One is they have a bag, and it's a single bag, and it's beautifully done here. This is what we actually use for our Passover. But in this bag, there are three different compartments. I don't know if you can see those. And each of these compartments hold a piece of matzah. Matzah is the bread that was used. Now, during the service, one of the things we do is we take out one piece of the matzah. Now, it's important which piece we take out. Now, going back again to Judaism, they asked the rabbis, why is this? They call this the unity, by the way, and the trinity within the unity. Is that starting to sound familiar? For some, they believe, well, what is this, Rabbi? And he says, well, it's the unity of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those three. And some would say, well, no, it's the unity of worship, of liturgy, and the unity is the three. It is the priest, the Levite, and the people. But now we look back and we say, do you realize what they were doing? Now, this is talking 1,000 years before Jesus. The unity of the bag and the three, of course, we believe as the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So now you're going to take out one piece of matzah and we're going to break it. Which piece do you think we should take out? The middle piece, the second piece, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so that's what they did, and that's what they did for thousands of years, not understanding why. And now it's left us, it's like, oh my goodness, it's really the second piece is the one they take out? And yes, they take out the second piece of matzah. And this is what it looks like. Those who have been involved in our Seder before, you know, you've seen this before, but those that have not, this is what Jesus actually really used, as far as we know. It's called matzah. It's unleavened bread. But it's more than that. It's more than that. But this is what Jesus would have used at the Last Supper. Now, this matzah, being unleavened, is important because, according to the rabbis, leaven or yeast represented sin. And we see that even in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He says, remove the old leaven of malice and evil and celebrate the new leaven of sincerity and truth. And so leaven symbolizes sin, so unleavened symbolizes purity. So we have purity in this bread, symbolizing the body of Christ. Remember, Jesus held this up and he said, this is my body. Not only is it pure in terms of being unleavened, but it's also the piece that is broken. The one piece of the three that's broken happens to be the second piece. Not only that, but look at how it is made. Because it's unleavened, to keep it unleavened, I guess they punch holes in it so it's pierced. And the way they lay it on the rack to bake it, it has stripes on it. So here it is. It is pierced and it is striped. And so Jesus, this is what he held up. See, what we have now, see, we have this. This is what we normally use. It's a wafer of unleavened bread. It is unleavened. But you see the difference between holding this up, this is the body of Christ, and holding this up and saying, this is the body of Jesus. It's pure. It's broken. It's got stripes. And it was pierced. You don't get that out of this, do you? You don't get that really out of this. Now, this was really, I just continue to amaze. You know, the more we understand about our Jewish heritage and the Jewish background and these kind of things, the more this stuff just blows my mind away. That this is what Jesus would have held up and he's saying, you see this? You see the stripes on it? You see the piercing? Guess what? This is my body. This is what's going to happen to me. And so it was. And so during the Passover Seder, one part we go through, we take out of the bag the middle piece of matzah, we break it in half, and we take half of it, and we hide it. Who thought of that? They hide it until the end of the meal. It's called the afikomen, which means that which is to come or which comes after. So they hide the half of it. The other half we partake of. And so it's broken, it's hidden, and then later on it's found and it becomes visible again. And you're like, okay, let me get this right. You're talking the second piece of matzah, the second person of the Trinity, taken, broken, pure, stripes, pierced, hidden away for a time. He was put in the tomb for 3 days and then resurrected and brought back he who was to reappear, he who was to come. All of that in a piece of bread. In a piece of bread. Now again, this is something that the Jews were doing for generations. And evidently led by the Holy Spirit to do it, I believe. I mean, it must have been inspired. But we just see this full of significance now. And they're like, well, this is what we do. This is what we do it over and over again, and this is what we do. To the extent they didn't understand it, I don't know. It seems presumptuous, I guess. But as I understand it, they simply didn't have, you know, why is there three? Why is it the unity? And they didn't realize how much this was prefiguring, in fact, what was going to happen with Jesus of Nazareth. And so, if we want to use what Jesus used, this is what we would be using for communion. We're going to do this today. We're going to have matzah. It's kind of like cracker. It's a little crunchier. But today we're going to have matzah. And as you receive this matzah, as I place it in your hand, I hope you're going to look at it closely. And you're going to look at it and say, oh, wow, it's got stripes and it's pierced. When I say to you the body of Jesus Christ, the bread of life, I hope you would say, wow, striped, broken for me, and pierced on the cross. This year, I think we're going to have the most authentic Passover we've ever had. I went through and looked at some videos and things. So I think it's going to be most explanatory. We have a sign up in the fellowship hall for this year's Seder. So I hope that you all be able to join us. But for today, we're going to have this matzah for communion. Now, this could be a stretch for some of us. I first want to say that you know, there's two ways to look at these things. We say, well, are these things necessary that we do? Is it that? Well, no, it's not necessary. In terms of salvation, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, right? But the things that we do, wearing vestments, using a bread that's matzah, this is what God, I think, has given as a gift to us. This is for us. This isn't for God. It's all to help us remember. And in Hebrew, that word to remember means to enter into. It's like personally experiencing something that we've never actually attended, like looking back all the way to the time of Exodus. And I thought of this sometimes. Have you ever had a strange sensation that in our own lives, if you have a particular scent, all of a sudden, I did this with honeysuckles once. We had a honeysuckle bush by our house. And one time I passed by and I smelled this honeysuckle and I thought, wow, what is it? It brought me back to my childhood. Just that smell. I didn't even fully understand it at the time. You know how a certain song you'll hear? And they go, oh, honey, that was our song. You know, and we start to get all flush and googly-eyed, right? Yeah. But even more than that is something I experienced when I went back to Ireland. I'd never been to Ireland. And it's like coming home to a place you've never been before. Have you ever experienced that? When I went to Ireland, I had a sense, I felt that I had come home to some place that I had been before. I believe something is passed down through the genes. Something happened, something in the memory that now ties us back. So when I was in Ireland, it was really a strange feeling. I'm like, I feel like I've been here before, and I had never been there before. It's that kind of thing that in the Hebrew sense of remembrance is going back and reliving, even though we weren't there, in a mystical way, in a spiritual way, but in a very real way. And that's what we do with Seder. That's what celebration is about, the festival is about annually. And that's what we do in Holy Communion. It's to remind us of Jesus, the Lamb of God, the blood shed for us, his bread, his body broken for us. And so, you know, having candles, wearing vestments, some people, that's not necessary. Well, it's not necessary, but it sure does help. It sure helps me. It helps us to remember. And these are like signs along the way to help us to remember. So it's not for God's purpose, it's for us. As we enter into these symbols and understand what God is trying to tell us in that. Another thing I want to say is sometimes when we do like communion and wear vestments, people say, oh, well, that's Catholic. I don't know how many times I've heard that. Oh, well, that's just Catholic. You guys are just really Catholics. I want you to know what we do, robes, candles, bread and wine, it's not Catholic. It goes long before Catholic. It goes all the way back to the, remember Aaron? You know, what did he do? He wore the robes. And the priest robe were very special and holy. The bread and the wine, the peace offering, all that goes all the way back to Judaism, long before Roman Catholic. And so if you hear anybody say, oh, you all are just, no. If anything, you want to accuse us, we're Jewish. Because Jesus was Jewish. That's where this comes from. And we're talking thousands of years. I don't know about you, but it just overwhelms me. Thousands of years we're celebrating something that all is pointing all along the way to Messiah, the culmination, both forward and now for us looking back. And so I just boggles my mind to think about the significance of these things and what God has done for us. And again, think back what the Jews were doing, the rabbis over their centuries, not even realized how significant it was when all of a sudden it was revealed to us what was happening in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, the second person of the Trinity, pierced, hung on a cross. And that was another thing too, just thinking back of them putting, imagine putting the blood, they says on the lintel and then on the side post. And what are they doing? Making the sign of the cross. Do you see that? Lintel and the side post. They had no idea. I can't imagine somebody come up and saying, hey, you realize you just made the sign of the cross? They didn't even know what the cross was at that time. Crucifixion, by the way, that's another fascinating thing. It was really only a short period of time that was one of the punishments. So another thing I just want to say about this, as we enter into this, our own application, what it means for us, to think that God has been using these elements, these symbols, thousands of years, not only foreshadowing Messiah through the Exodus and the Lamb of God and the Passover and all that, but now us going back to it, what Jesus gave us at the Last Supper, you know, the broken bread and the poured out wine. But this is a whole big, larger story. Do we see how vast it is, how long God has been working to call his people to himself? I mean, this is a huge, big story. And when I think of it in those terms, then I think of the situation, what I'm dealing with, and my challenges in my life, and the things that I worry about, and I think, oh my goodness, there's such a big story. And we are part of that story. And that means no matter what's going on in my personal life, I am part of this big picture, this big story, which means in the end, we win. Death is defeated. Satan is defeated. And all of this is looking back to remember so that our faith would stand strong today and tomorrow. So my hope is when you look at this bread, that you look at it closely. Body of Christ, pure, broken, striped, and pierced. For us. I believe God is revealing things now. I mean, I'm just continuing to be, awakened to some things. The Holy Spirit is moving. I believe the kingdom of God is truly upon us. And as God is revealing these things and reminding us of his big picture, truly the best is yet to come, because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. You are awesome. In thousands of years, Lord, you've been telling this story and creating the story of our salvation and the redemption of your people by the blood of Jesus. So, Father, today, as we once again gather to remember, to do it in remembrance of Jesus, and to be aware that this goes all the way back, not just hundreds of years, but thousands of years. And so, Lord God, we thank you for these reminders and these gifts and these symbols. And may it touch our hearts, Lord, that they turn to you, and we give you thanks. And we do it in he who made it all possible, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.